You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and Black Talk Radio Network, the number one Black radio network podcast in the country. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Holiday 4th of July weekend. You had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather, wherever you were, was accommodating for you to do it. And I know the weather is always an issue because of climate change here in this country, or actually around the world. It's an issue. Yeah, Europeans just constantly messing it up for everybody. For everybody. Man, you know, and our problem is that we don't understand and we don't see the problems that they've caused and continue to cause for everybody. But yet we continue to want to be, want to look like, want to be with, want to whatever. Sad, isn't it? Yes, it is. I'm glad to be back. It's been a while. I hope everything has been well with you. And I'm glad that you joined me this morning. And I'll be putting information out there because we, you know, the most important thing that we as African people need is information. Especially those of us who want to make the kind of substantive change for ourselves, our families, our people, our world. We need that information. And so, continue to listen. I appreciate it. Continue to listen. other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, African Perspectives, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Following on Mondays and Wednesdays, so after right after my program today, will be the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3. My good friend and brother, Brother Franklin Jones, from 1 to 3 on Monday and Wednesday. Also on Mondays, Monday evening, on Time for an Awakening is from 6 to 8 is Acres of Diamonds. Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia. Right after Acres of Diamonds from 8 to 9 is Let's Buy Black 365. Let's Buy Black 365. And then right after that program is a program on reparations. A program from 9 to 10. I got to get the title of the program. But I know it's from 9 to 10, programming on reparations. And I believe my good brother, Infanteo, Jamoke Infanteo, is one of the presenters on that program. There might be others. On Tuesday night, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, is Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesday, tonight, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy, 7 p.m. on Thursdays, from 7 p.m. from 7 to 8. Relationships with Joy and Troy. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, brothers and sisters, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. From 10 a.m. to 12 noon is Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it ain't me. Yeah, brothers and sisters, it is, once again, Revive with Sister POC. Revive. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., time for an awakening, once again, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 7 p.m. And, of course, the number to call for these programs and mine is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And you can call and give us your African perspective. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. A lot of products and services from WeBuyBlack.com is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. And of course, as I always state, if you're in the Atlanta area and you're near the Greenbrier Mall off of Georgia Highway 166, which is also close to Interstate 285, in that area is the Greenbrier Mall. And you can go to the Greenbrier Mall, and they have a kiosk at the Greenbrier Mall. And you can pick up your laundry detergent that's produced by us. Razors, blades, toothbrushes, toothpaste, batteries, I could go on, deodorant, salve, and liniments. WeBuyBlack.com. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. My good brother, bro, Bomani Tayemba, is once again taking our brothers and sisters to the motherland. He took a group back in May, June. He's going to take another group in November to South Africa, Johannesburg and Cape Town, South Africa, November 26th to December 2nd. Then he's going to take a group again to Ghana, December 24th to January 4th, 2020. Please give him a call, 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. And if you want to check out photos of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I. If you want to check out videos of previous tours, and I'm quite sure he has the latest one that took place back in May, June, and you go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007. You can check out previous tours. So check it out, because you might be able to go if you want to, and you might be able to afford it. And any other tour, there's payment plans and so forth. And you can check out Garvey Town. Shrine of the Black Madonna, where you can get everything at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They have furniture. They have books. They have clothing. They have the red, black, and green shoes. They have all types of artwork. And they even have an African Holocaust Museum located within the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Of course, they have the beautiful sanctuary where a lot of community events are being held, aside from the Sunday services. The hours of operation, Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday, they're closed Monday and Tuesday. Sunday from 1 to 3. And everything is right there on the west end of the Shrine of Black Madonna. The number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. If you love history like I love history, they have a history class, Know Thyself, every Saturday, free and open to the public, 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. And that is right there at the Shrine of Black Madonna. But if you can't make that, but you want that information, excuse me, they also have a multimedia library. It is an extensive multimedia library that you plug into your computer, and bam, there it is for you. Over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is, brothers and sisters, 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment right there at your disposal at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Another bookstore I promote is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, and the kiosk of We Buy Black is right by the Medu Bookstore. Medu means writing. Netcher means gods. So the Medu Netcher, which the Greeks call hieroglyphs, means the writings of the gods. So the Medu Bookstore, give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. And if she doesn't have the book that you want, believe me, she'll get it for you, as well as the Shrine, as well as Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother, Kazemde Ajamu, is the proprietor of Black Dot. And give him a call, 404-519-8107. He also has the red, black, and green shoes. He also has some clothing. He also has books. And if he doesn't have the book you request, he'll get it for you. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu, brothers and sisters. Ulu is us lifting us. Ulu is the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu is located at 2036 Sylvan Road, and Ulu has the Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. And the number to call for the Thursday night broadcast, 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, to be a part of that call. You can listen to what's going on with Ulu. More importantly, become a member. Go ahead and buy some Ulu products from the website, that's right. CafeUlu.com. CafeUlu.com. Cafe Ulu is located at 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza here in Atlanta. Opened Tuesday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5. And we have coffee. We have African coffee. We have Ethiopian, where coffee originated. We have Cameroon, Tanzanian, Kenyan. We have all types of coffees from around the world, you know. And also, too, we have loose teas. And everything, brothers and sisters, at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. And one of the products that we promote as well is Ambrosia, the vitality drink created by Brother Novak Young. Ambrosia, made with alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane, sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, as well as cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. Ambrosia. That sounds delicious, doesn't it? And believe me, it is. Akabin Institute. I will always promote Akabin Institute and the work that Baba Baruti and Ya Baruti are doing to raise warriors, to raise brothers and sisters with a serious, conscious mind. When I went to the Rites of Passage that they have each year, the young men and women go through that process, you can tell these are serious-minded brothers and sisters. I know they're but a few, but they keep growing and keep growing, and hopefully they'll touch more and more, because that's what we need. We need dedicated, committed to our struggle for self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Attended the Pan-African Federation meeting last night, and we were talking about sovereignty and trying to get a definition. We don't need a definition, your definition, my definition. No, we need a definition that is agreed upon. What is sovereignty? What does it look like? And I'm going to read Baba Baruti's piece that he sent out, what sovereignty means. But Akabin Institute, located here in Atlanta, please donate. Akoben Institute, A-K-O-B-E-N Institute, P.O. Box 10786. So you can make your check out to Akoben Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. 30310. Or you can pay by PayPal or Cash App. Okay? And if you have any problems with that, please give me a call at 414-324-5786. I'll make sure, because they need support. Another project I'm supporting is Sister Gabby down in, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia down in Haiti. She's working in the rural area of Haiti, in the northeast part of Haiti. And her program is Sonje-Haiti, Sonje-Aiti.org. Please check them out. Check out what she's doing, the things that she is doing. And if you can, please support her as well. Before I read this piece on sovereignty, excuse me, family, a little something in my throat there. Inye Sasim, and of course, I've been gone a while. So we're going to try to, you know, like I said, apologize for the, you know, I definitely wanted to be back here sooner than what happened, but things happen and they happen sometimes for whatever reason. But I am going to catch back up on some of these because I've been gone a good while. And the first one I'm going to read in the Inye Sasim is from June 22nd. It took sheer determination to be able to run 100 yards and remember all the mechanics that go along with it. It took steady nerves and being a fighter to stay out there. Wilma Rudolph. And if you know the Wilma Rudolph story, she had polio when she was a kid. Wilma Rudolph, I mean, what a beautiful woman, what a beautiful spirit. She unfortunately, like many of our beautiful people, they pass away too young. We speak in honor of those African warrior scholars who have consistently proven their worth. We speak in honor of those, excuse me, family, at those at whose feet we humbly sit and study so that we can learn how to be warriors, warriors for our people. We speak in honor of those Jegnas. Remember, we don't use mentors. We don't use the word mentor or mentors. We use Jegna or Jegnak. Okay, Jegna. We speak in honor of those Jegna who know no way other than our ancestors, who have done and continue to do all and more in their power to confront, battle, and destroy any who would take the knowledge of the third eye from our children. We speak in honor of those who unhesitatingly fight with, and will fight forever, do us battle for us, simply because we are their people, our children, are their children, our spirits are one. We speak in honor of those who have eerily paved the way on the battlefield, who made a way when we could not see for our ignorance and nearsighted comatose submission, who stood alone when we were too afraid or ignorant to answer the war horn. This praise song is for those who, since consciousness, have not committed treason against our ancestors, who have consistently stayed on the revolutionary path of deeply dedicated, uncompromising warrior scholar, who honor our ancestors through every day they say, through everything they say, and everything they do. Excuse me. Affirm, I honor those African warrior scholars who have paved and proven their worth. Affirm, I honor those African warrior scholars who have proven their worth. Oppression must be shouted down like a bully on the playground or beat down like a rapist. Chinleyu. It is not a matter of blaming Europeans. It is a matter of understanding that they are to blame. By no means are they, now or then, innocent. If it were not for them, we would not have reason to be angry at each other for what we have allowed to happen to us. If we want to distill it down to a matter, it is a matter of them starting it and us finishing it. This is how warriors, those revolutionary, uncompromising souls who are keenly aware that their people have been unjustly attacked, think and act. Affirm, I understand Europeans are to blame. Affirm, I understand Europeans are to blame. And if you know me, I always put the blame where it squarely belongs. I always want to tell and deal with the root cause of the problem that we are experiencing. Europeans, Caucasians, any other noun or adjective that you want to use, they are at the root. They are to blame. But I know it's easy for us to blame each other, to blame ourselves, the victim of what they have done. And we consistently do that, and I hate it. I have friends, and I make it known to them sometimes. I say, man, you're constantly blaming us, you know. Because what happens, we become frustrated with us because we feel you should understand this, you should know this, but because of the heavy bombardment of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege in our daily lives, 24/7, 365, you are bombarded with these images and notions of your inferiority, of your inability, of your lack thereof. Who does that? Not us. They do. But we blame us for our conditions. No, brothers and sisters, put the blame where it squarely belongs. I know there's some of us who have Caucasian friends, Caucasian relatives, a Caucasian spouse, and it'll be very tough for them to say to them, you know what, the condition that my people have and the reason why I even married you is because of what you have done to us. And see, a lot of times when you confront Caucasians in that way, they will deny it because why? They're individual. That's not me. They don't understand that they've done this through a group dynamic. But because they perpetuate individualism, they don't think in that way. He who was ruled by his appetite belongs to the enemy. Ptahotep. Brothers and sisters, Ptahotep, if you could do the research, it's probably one of the first books ever written by a human being. He was an advisor in the fourth or fifth dynasty. So I'm talking about somebody who lived. Ptahotep is a real human being who lived over 5,000 years ago. And his wisdom is most relevant even to this very day. He who was ruled by his appetite belongs to the enemy. Ptahotep. Individualism is self-serving and antagonistic to any institution that makes others equal or more important than the self. No wonder the European mind covertly seeks to destroy family in every way possible, reducing it to the point where there is nothing but disconnected, emotionally sterile, purely predatory individuals. Such individuals can easily be controlled by manipulating their unnaturally developed appetites. This must be understood and addressed if we are to reverse not only the decline of marriage in the conscious community, but also the declining desire among our youth to consider participating in the institution of marriage. Neither sister nor brother are toys to be played with and then shelved or discarded at our whim. If we cannot get a grip on this, African relationships between men and women cannot blossom to their fullest. And if they are not being their fullest in times of intense assault, when they are most needed to be so, they will be working against each other and against us as a people. We cannot talk about building family at the same time we're on the prowl to satisfy individualistic, hedonistic, pleasure-driven, anti-family appetites. These two mentalities are incompatible. Affirm, I have no alien-inspired appetites. Affirm, I have no alien-inspired appetites. He who was ruled by the appetite belongs to the enemy, because if that's a, they know your desires. They create them. They create them. This is a sick society, dear brothers and sisters. You know it and I know it. And even the ones who participated sometimes get a flashback, and then they realize it, but they know it, but they continue to go because this is addictive. Individualism is a European Caucasian desire, but collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must. We have always been a collective people. We could not have done what we have done without being a collective people. We are together, Ubuntu, together. June 27. If you are God, then save your own. Don't mentally enslave your own. Outcast. Being connected to spirit should be the warrior's central focus, because spirit is the source of our greatest strength. We once knew this. We once knew we are nothing less than divinity, and what is possessed, we possess also proportionately. We once knew our power. We once knew that the penalty of seeking integration into inferior thinking and being. If we are to return to power, we must again know spirit. We must know self. Affirm, I'm using my divine power to save African people. Affirm, I'm using my divine power to save African people. We also must understand what we're dealing with. We're dealing with an entity that is anti-spirit. We're dealing with an entity that is anti-life. Everything these Europeans touch is destroying. They are destroying the planet, the whole planet. There are many parts of the world that are drought-stricken, some parts of the world that are flooded. I don't know if you saw last week, there was almost 90 degrees in Alaska. They were sliding down snow-covered hills in shorts and T-shirts. I'm telling you, global climate change is real. And the cause of global climate change is Europeans. June 30th. Caucasian studies is a system of intellectual legitimacy which defines the activities and experience of Caucasian Western people as the universal yardstick of human existence. James Turner. Those Africans reaching out to be saved from the entanglement of the underbrush of Eurasian, still fighting off the venomous Caucasian predators with worn, dire, ineffective twigs, while holding on to cutting thorn vines for dear life against the sucking quicksand of alien seduction with broken and bloodied hands, deserve every chance we can to offer assistance to them, because that self they know they must be in order to regain their sanity. Deserve every chance we can offer to assist them, because that self they know
they must be in order to regain their sanity. We have become insane because we believe in this system. We still, to this very day, are still surprised that when something happens, that we still can't believe that this, they still behave this way. They still, you know, it is who they are. Our problem is that we don't want to come to grips with who they are. We're constantly trying to beg them, constantly trying to make them something that they can never be. Human. Affirm. I assist any African who desires to be sane. Excuse me. I assist any African who desires to be sane. I assist any African who desires to be sane. July 2nd. The most difficult thing to get people to do is to accept the obvious. The most difficult thing for people to do is to accept the obvious. Dick Gregory. Western science has long recognized that individuals who find satisfaction or pleasure in repeatedly harming others, be they humans, animals, plants, or other things in the universe, have low self-esteem. With this in mind, we have to consider the fact that what normally or disproportionately applies to individuals in a group or nation applies to the new group or nation of which they are part of. For it is the culture, in conjunction with the society, has a creation of the cultural acelli, which fosters, nourishes a particular personality. Therefore, we can safely conclude, as African social scientists, that European society has low self-esteem. Its history of ongoing wanton violence against others, especially defenseless others, and those who simply want to live in their own space in peace, reveals this insane mental illness. European social scientists, in an effort to deflect blame from their faulty cultural acelli and project their abnormal traits on all of humanity, attempt to attribute these culturally violent tendencies in their population and those socialized in their cultural context to the groups that have victimized, disempowered, and defined as deviant with a myriad of erroneous errors, racist theories, which makes their schizophrenic thought and behavior appear as if it is not part and parcel of their unique cultural, seedly, innate generative matter. Affirm. I have moved beyond the analytical limits of the propaganda of a few bad apples. Affirm. I have moved beyond the analytical limits of the propaganda of a few bad apples. See, one of them, a few bad apples, but basically we're just good people. They're all human beings. No. The mentality that you have created permeates from those who are at the lowest of your class to those who are at the highest of your class. And the bottom line of what they want to do is dominate, control, steal, rob, cheat, undermine, take. That's what they want to do. July 3rd. I felt that one had better die fighting against injustice than to die like a dog or a rat in a trap. I had already determined to sell my life as dearly as possible if attacked. I felt that if I could take one lyncher with me, this would even up the score just a little bit. Our dear beloved sister, Ida B. Wells. I don't know about y'all, but I love me some Ida B. Wells. I just couldn't think she was just a beautiful, strong woman. Standing up when a lot of men weren't standing. My admiration and deep respect for Ida B. Wells. She's the one that brought the attention of us being lynched after Reconstruction or after our physical enslavement. She is the one. She's the one who had to leave Memphis because they were going to kill her and went to Chicago. Ida B. Wells. Barnett. The notorious treachery of European females as leaders and or active participants in the oppression and genocide of the world's people of color is right before our eyes. Who do you think were responsible for the deaths of the majority of African men who were lynched? These Europeans were actively engaged in female responsibilities of lynching. From the initial lynching, from the initial lying, rubber stamping of their men's lives about violations against their make-believe chastity, to preparing for and participating in the festivities of burning, shooting, and hanging, as well as picking through and fighting over physical remains of our murdered ancestors for souvenirs. Their smiling faces are well represented in historic and barbaric crowds. Lynchings were celebrations involving family and food, of which they were primarily responsible. The female arm of that rich, overt racist tradition continues. Today, overtly, they comprise one quarter of all active known racist group members and half of all new recruits. And, as noted in critiques of feminism, female Yorugu have and continue to benefit as no other group. They have as much a vested interest in the perpetuation of race-based privilege as their males. Nepotism applies to sisters, wives, nieces, mothers, grandmothers, daughters, as well as brothers, nephews, and sons. Affirm, I make sure I even up the score. Affirm, I make sure I even up the score. Ida B. Wells said, if I could just take one lyncher with me, this would even up the score a little bit. And I don't know, you've probably seen pictures of the children around, the women around. And remember, many of the children that were born, the so-called mulattoes or half-breeds, whatever you call them, were killed by the women, beating them to death. Beating them to death. Also beating to death sisters. You know, some of us have this mindset because you see in the movies some benevolent Caucasian female. Even the so-called mean Massa. He was married to a woman who was nice, teaching somebody how to read or, you know, have them in the house and doing all the little small chores and so forth and whatever. The reality is Caucasian men rule with the benefit of their women. Really, all people, all men, in mostly societies, when they rule, they have the benefit from their women. It is just that because of how Europeans developed, women have always been relegated to a subservient or second place or second class people as far as men and Caucasians were in society. July 5th, the aggressive seizure of intellectual space, like the seizure of land, amounts to the aggressor's occupying someone else's territory while claiming it has his own. Malefe Kete Asante. Negro intellectual watchdogs have recently experienced an unprecedented and virtually unchallenged leverage over defining what is acceptable African interpretation of reality. It is not that the number of serious African centers warrior scholars is declining. Oh, no. The fact the warrior scholars are increasing, and I hope they continue to do so, many times fold. This change has resulted from the campaigning of the mass media, the dueling out of academic positions, the virtual absence of control over these positions by Africans who hold them, and the intolerance of increasing numbers of Africans who fear anything not bringing them greater levels of compensation in this materialistic world. This Caucasian-sponsored Negro crusade has left us few credible public platforms from which to speak truth. We often miss the point of the Negroization of African-centered education when looking for individual traitors instead of the cultural conspiracy. Cultures define their interests, and African educational initiatives are in opposition to European cultural imperatives. Let me repeat. Culture defines their interests, and African educational initiatives, African, are in opposition to European cultural imperatives. Europeans naturally respond accordingly. Minocidal African academicians are central to their racial response. The minocidal Africans are central to their racist response. Their reaction to African educators working in re-Africanized students by offering them the opportunity to know themselves and studying independently nation building, a direct threat to European dominations of Africans, is aggressively oppositional. These Negroes who are in, quote, black colleges, these Negroes who are in universities, colleges, trade schools, technical schools, are the hindrance for our people. Affirm, I am right. I am raising African-centered warrior scholars. Affirm, I am raising African-centered warrior scholars. We need brothers and sisters who understand clearly who and what we are and where we are. We need each other. We need to work together. July 7th. There is the general failure to understand that animals behave as they do because their cerebral cortex, which is the division of the brain created to curb the animalistic behavior of the two lower brains, is not sufficiently developed in them. In humans, it is a different story. Ra Anefer Aman, the Shekama Shekama. Ra Anefer Aman. The politicized use of science by Europeans has an instrument to discriminately select abnormalities in the animal kingdom in order to show how they come to model such behavior directly contradicts their argument that animals and humans are such distinct groupings. Even their theories of evolution depict animals as lower, less intelligent species of living beings. Nonetheless, Europeans cite many erroneous scientific findings that claim to have identified conscious, same-sex, or otherwise perverted sexual behaviors among animals to define their homosexual desire to mate with themselves. They diligently search out abnormalities in the animal kingdom to explain themselves as normal. Inconveniently defining humans as animals and using the selective excuse of what other animals do to rationalize and make homosexuality scientific, Europeans omit overlook the fact that sexual perversions are found among no other animal. I repeat. Inconveniently defining humans as animals and using the selective excuses of what other animals do to rationalize and make homosexuality scientific, Europeans admit and overlook the fact that sexual perversions are found among no other animal. If animal behavior is the guide, then something is wrong with their science. They cannot be above and below animals at the same time. Affirm, I take my cues for correct behavior from my ancestors alone, for they have already done the science. Affirm, I take my cues for correct behavior from my ancestors alone, for they have already done the science. A good brother, a man of Ho Chi, who met in Milwaukee, who's one of the leaders in the Ifa community, moved here to Atlanta. And he joined the ancestors while he was here. There's a piece that says, I have studied. Brother Manu Ho Chi was a very wise man. Many African societies I have studied. Nowhere have I found those societies to have homosexuality within them. Nowhere have I found those societies to have homosexuality within them. I am not a proponent or opponent of homosexuality. I have said this, and I'll continue to say this, what consenting adults do in the privacy of their own home, that is their business. I put emphasis on consenting and adult and privacy at home because I don't want to see it. But the reality is this. In our movement for independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty as African people, there is no plank for homosexuality. You can be a homosexual. That's your business. But we ain't fighting for homosexual rights. We ain't fighting for homosexuals. We're fighting for African people to be liberated. We're fighting for African people to be self-determining. We're fighting for African people to be sovereign. We ain't fighting for them to be homosexual and to be whatever. That's your business. July 8th. Plainly and simply, the purpose of living is to carry on from where our ancestors have left off and to pave the way for those yet to be born. Kamala. Being African is an enigmatic process, a process of building stages where each stage builds on the foundation of the one that came before it and lays the foundations for the ones following it. Kamala's remarks are descriptive of the intent of the term enigmatic in the social context. They speak of carrying forward our tradition. Often those of us who have assumed responsibility for paving the way, though, have to go through an enigmatic process of re-Africanization. We have to go through the process of re-Africanization because of our African minds have been under attack since we've been brought here for all these 400 years and continues to be under attack, and not only here, but globally. Yes, that's right, brothers and sisters, the continent as well. In sequential order, these stages include encounter, where you see that the reality that you have come to pull all your hope, faith, and belief in is nothing less than a massive but intractable interconnected web of lies, denial, a refusal to come to grips with the fact that you have seen systematically lied to about reality, shock. When the truth can no longer be denied, anger over this and the realization that the anger must be constructively vented as we leave the comfort of our menticide. Search, being the compulsion to find the most effective way to reverse our destruction. Study, the intensive and exhaustive effort to gain knowledge of self and all that seeks to destroy it. And finally, focused rage. When warriors see their preeminent responsibility as winning their people's liberation through consciously acting on their newfound self-awareness wherever they are and in every way they can, now. This was a very deep piece, brothers and sisters, because it is where we are. The order we must reclaim and re-Africanize ourselves. Encounter, where you see that the reality that have come to put all of our hopes and faith and belief in is nothing. It is nothing but an intractable, interconnected web of lies. And then after we encounter, there is that denial and refusal to come to grips with the fact that you have been systematically lied to and about reality. Then there's that shock when the truth can no longer be denied. You're shocked. And then there's anger over this and the reality that the anger must be constructively vented as we leave the comfort of our mental side. All of us are going through a process of menticide. And the only way you can do that is eradicate that ignorance from your mind. Search, being the compulsion to find, the most effective way to reverse our destruction. Study. Study the intensive and extensive effort to gain knowledge of self and all that seeks to destroy it. Understanding you, but also understanding your enemy. And finally, focused rage. When warriors see their preeminent responsibilities as winning their people's liberation through consciously acting on their newfound self-awareness wherever they are and in every way they can, and they're doing it now. Affirm, I never turn from the strength of my ancestors. Affirm, I never turn from the strength of my ancestors. July 9th. We must be about the business of liberating the minds of African children. In order for that to occur, the minds of all Africans who interact with them must be liberated also. There is no other way. Dr. Bobby Wright. And if I had to tell you again, you know my love and admiration and respect for Dr. Bobby Wright. Go get his Psychopathic Racial Personality essay. Look it up. Go to YouTube. Dynamic. Europeans should never be present in the classroom of our children. Their tainted truth should never enter our children's ears or minds. Relying on them to tell our story and then defend us from ourselves is a sad statement about our will to be African. They are absolutely incapable of teaching our children of their true power and responsibility used of it for our community. Neither is any African potency in the words of Negroes. Neither is there any African potency in the words of Negroes. There cannot be, because their influence leads to sub-integrationist suicide. They are not willing to die fighting against the lies that betrayed our people's interests. They bring them. Moreover, today, their primary mission, evident in virtually every school system where our children are found, is to serve as the colored administrators who reintroduce European teachers into our children's classrooms so that it does not appear as a European sub-integrationist initiative. No one can work for and against our children at the same time. No one can work for and against our children at the same time. Affirm. I work to liberate our children's minds from whiteness. Affirm, I work to liberate our children's minds from Caucasianness, from Europeanness, whiteness. Today, July 10th. Revolution is not a speed race. It is a race for he who runs to the end of his life. It is not a race for racehorses. It is a race for war horses. Kwame Ture. Warriors are not an accident of birth. We are planned. We just have to see the plan. European science would have us believe there is no plan. They would have us believe that we just happened. They would have us believe that there is no ancestral connection. They would have us believe that we are not given instructions, a mission, a nirgabia, your personal mission, before returning to the battlefield. And as long as we believe this idiotic operation and operate, as long as we believe this idiotic and operate as Negroes and lost souls in the reality where everything Caucasian is to be feared and held in awe, and everything of our tradition is to be aborted and dismissed as backward and backward insanity, we will submit and subsist as the living dead, dismissed by our children, the shame of our ancestors, consciously disconnected from spirit through intimidation of despiritualized lesser gods. Becoming warriors is not an accident of birth. It is a choice made before birth, realized after. As our name implies, we are here to wage war against our people's enemies. Whether in preparation or in actual physical fulfillment of the dream, we are warriors. In fact, we have no choice. We owe those who battle before us, who are without defense and hope today, our reinforcements yet to come. Affirm, I am no accident. I am ancestors' intent. Affirm, I am no accident. I am the ancestors' intent. The Inye Sesum, the Book of Revolutionary and Daily Thought. Inye Sesum, a calendar of revolutionary daily thoughts. Each day, warrior scholars need words that give them cause to consider the significance of what they must do. Each day, dedicated revolutionaries must articulate and refine the nature of their service to African people. Each day, conscious workers deserve to have their thoughts recognized and their intent validated by the minds of equal spirit. Each day, those who would die for us should be reminded that they will never be alone and that their thoughts are those of every other member of the warrior class, seasoned elder warriors, and most deserving and honored ancestors. They will find the substance of these affirmations here every day. Ashe. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, and you can join us at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. That was the music of Donald Byrd and the Blackbirds, Flight Time. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media immediately following my program on Monday and Wednesdays. On Mondays and Wednesdays is the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3 with host Brother Franklin Jones. Other programs, Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And I got to get the name of the title of the program on reparations from 9 to 10 on Mondays. On Tuesdays, Dr. Black Reality Think Tank with our host, Dr. William Rogers, from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister PLC on Wednesdays from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy from 7 p.m. on Thursdays. On Friday, if it is Friday, and it is 8 p.m. Eastern Time, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Revive with Sister PLC on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, once again, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. on Sunday. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I've been remiss the last number of programs not to mention about the Black Talk Radio Project 2019's independent radio Black Media Fund. Black Talk Radio Project 2019 Independent Black Media Fund. You can go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. And you'll see it right there. It says Black Talk Radio Network's Independent Media Fund. Click on that to help make your donation. Also, too, on the page, there is a donate icon. And it talks about Black Talk Media Project's 11th annual fundraiser. And it says what they're trying to raise. They're only trying to raise $24,000. All the people that listen. If you are a listener of this program, I ain't asking you to give me a dime. I pay to do this, okay? I'm not trying to make money. I'm trying to raise consciousness. I'm trying to put something on our people's mind. Believe me, I pay for this. I pay Brother Elliot and so forth. So I'm not trying to raise money, but I want Black Talk Radio Network. Help them raise money. And all the other programs that are on Black Talk Radio Network, it shouldn't be no problem to raise $24,000 for all that we're trying to do. So you go on that page and click to donate, and you follow that through there. So please go to blacktalkradionetwork.com and donate to help with the Black Talk Radio Network Project Independent Media Fund 2019. Independent Media Fund. That's another thing I'll be talking about as we continue on this journey. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. I want to thank Brother Kwaku and for all that he does, and I really appreciate him. We did have a program every day that I was gone, a previous recorded program. Some of the programs he pulled up, I was like, oh, that sounds great, you know. It's not that I sound great, because I don't, but the topic and what was being discussed and what was being presented,
you know. So last night I attended at Cafe Ulu a panel or discussion on Pan-Africanism, the Pan-African Federalist Movement, which are part of gearing towards a convention in Atlanta next year. Haven't found the place. The dates are October of next year. Right on, brother. Right on, my good friend, Brother Ralph. Love him, man. I'm telling you. That's a good man. Good brother. Appreciate him. Can't wait to come back that way to see you guys for real. Spend a day or two on the real. The dates for the Pan-African Conference next year in October, 15th, 16th, 17th of October in that area. I think that's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for the Pan-African Conference. I know October 16th is the Day of Atonement. There's some other things happening. Oh, a good friend of mine's birthday, October 16th. But we're gearing up for that conference, for a Pan-African Conference, and you'll have Africans from around the world, I would hope, who will attend, who will be here in Atlanta to discuss this. Because as far as I'm concerned, what is most important is African people coming together, not American Africans, not Caribbean Africans, not diasporan Africans, not just continental Africans, but Africans, period, coming together to deal with the issues that have been affecting our people. Nothing more important. Just like May 25th should be circled as a serious day of reflection, a serious day of us coming together. And that, of course, is African Liberation Day. African Liberation Day. There should be no more important day on the calendars to be observed, commemorated, or even celebrated than African Liberation Day. More than Juneteenth, because that ain't even our independence. We didn't get independence. We never have independence in their environment. I'm saying it's even more important even than Kwanzaa. Now, of course, Kwanzaa helps us understand the importance of African Liberation Day. Kwanzaa should help us understand a lot about who we are culturally and the things we should do. Those seven principles, if those seven principles wouldn't be instilled in our everyday lives, Umoja, unity, Kujichagulia, self-determination, Ujima, collective work and responsibility, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, Kumba, creativity, Imani, purpose, Kumba, creativity. Come on, Oshi. Let me go back to cooperative economics. Nia, purpose, Kumba, creativity, and Imani, faith. Those seven principles established in our everyday lives. When we consciously seek out unity, we consciously spend money with one another, we consciously work together with one another, we consciously use our creativity for the benefit of our people, we consciously understand our purpose as African men and women for community, for family. We consciously do this. We exemplify that. It is who we are. Those are the things that we must understand and implement. Because if we did, we wouldn't be in this situation. We have everything we need. The only thing we don't have is our right mind. That is our problem. If we instill those seven principles of Ma'at, of truth, righteousness, justice, harmony, reciprocity, order, and balance. We have everything we need except the right mind. I often say that this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. I haven't read the sovereignty statement that Baba Baruti put out many years ago, but we were talking about sovereignty last night, and some people were saying they have this about sovereignty and that about sovereignty and so forth. And I'm saying to myself is that we need to come up with a collective definition and agree upon it. And that is the definition. It ain't yours. It ain't mine. It is ours. That's what we need to do. Cause this ain't Baruti's. It's our goal. It is our statement of what sovereignty is. The successful outcome of any nationalist movement is sovereignty for the people. The successful outcome of any movement for our people, nationalists, pan-Africanists, is sovereignty for our people. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. Right now, as always for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently, and powerfully we control our resources, our story, our culture, time, space, and our destiny. It is to leave the power within the nation to control our lives. It is to have the power within the nation to control our lives and to control them in our best interest, regardless of opposition from outside or any foolishness from inside of us. That's what sovereignty means. We are in control. Accordingly, being sovereign has to mean that there is no one beyond us who makes any decisions about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, how we deal with enemies, whether aliens or traitors, and how we visualize our future and communicate and express that vision. It means that we are completely and consciously self-defining, self-determining, and self-empowered, and self-respecting. And since no nation has ever risen to power and stayed there without holding their own traditions sacred, sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, protect, and extend in time through every coming generation who we are as a direct reflection of our ancestors. Sovereignty is our ultimate goal. Sovereignty is our ultimate goal. Not assimilation, not integration, not going along to get along, not hoping and praying for a piece of this nasty ass pie. No. Sovereignty means expressing who we are independently, our own. We cannot be sovereign on this land. This land was taken by an evil entity, an entity that is so evil that it would be willing to destroy all of it because they're too selfish and too damn greedy. They will never share. Do I have a caller? Well, if I don't, it is okay because you know how I do. Yes, I do have a caller, 646-646. Good afternoon.
Hey, Oshi, you decided to come back home to African people, I see, huh? You was out there caravanning, doing all sorts of you know what, and now you decided to grace us with your greatness. Ain't you something, brother? How you doing, brother Oshi?
I'm doing fine, Jay. Jay, I'm fine. Miss y'all, brothers and sisters. Believe me, I do.
Nah, you didn't miss us. You were doing what you were doing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have missed you if I was gone. You know, you just took a summertime hiatus. Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I hear you, brother.
Listen, you know, now let me ask you this.
Sure.
Where is your boy Franklin Jones? Is Franklin Jones on live? Is he recorded. I mean, you don't know what's going on with old Franklin, man.
Is that right? Well, you know, I missed him the last two times. I missed him on Monday because I was trying to travel, unfortunately. Didn't make it, but...
I don't think Franklin take calls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has a very, very unique program.
He does.
Know, like he's teaching.
Right. Well, you know, he's going to be on today. I'm going to listen. And, you know,
okay. I
can't wait to listen. And if it's something that is stated or said that I want to, you know, comment on or get some clarity on, I'll definitely call in. And I hope that you do, too.
There's a lot of things you got to get clarity on with old Franklin. But, you know, it is what it is. But yeah. How you been otherwise? Did you enjoy Milwaukee?
Yes. And I went to Denver, for my niece's baby shower to be with family and friends there as well.
Okay.
That I have there. So I did a number of things, but I'm glad to be back and I can't wait. A lot of good things that are going to be happening. I'm going to be talking about some people who are going to get on the program. Hopefully next week.
Isn't now like the busy time of the year for the festivities going on in Atlanta?
Yeah. A number of things are going to be happening here. You know, we got Marcus Garvey Day coming up. I know we're planning big for that this year. You know, a number of street festivals and so forth. But I'm looking forward to a few programs ahead. I've contacted a few people, and one will hopefully be Conrad Wuerl, because this movement of our, particularly our young people, that they don't want to be African. They don't identify with Africa, you know. And, of course, the Adolf.
You know, I'm going to tell you something about that whole thing. And I can understand it, and I can't understand some of it. I don't think that they're saying that they don't want to be African. I think what they're saying is they want preference for people that were enslaved here in America.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make sure that the people that were mistreated in America are given first preference instead of the individuals like Kamala Harris. You know, because the realization is Kamala Harris is not an American black or an American African. Mm-hmm. Even though she may have been born here in America, her lineage is from India and Jamaica.
Well,
you understand.
Now,
the African lineage comes, the Jamaican lineage comes from Africa.
Exactly.
But that's where the whole issue is, in a sense, being distorted. Now, my issue is with, and Cobra is this. You've been out here for 40 years, and if the truth be told, you really haven't, what you call them, anything. You really haven't achieved anything. So now you have Adolf here trying to do certain things, and you want to cause issues. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
I can't go with that. But listen, Ochi, I just got a call.
Okay,
let me
brother.
Run. I'll try and get back to you.
All right, Jay. Have a blessed day. All right, brother. My good brother. Yeah. You know, I'd like to get Brother Conrad Wuerl into get off into this particular discussion. I saw on Facebook, as I was another piece about at 90%, and this is ridiculous. As far as I'm concerned, okay, 90% of American Africans are not African. They're indigenous to this land. Over 90%. Some, I think it was even like 98, some statistic. You know, and then the hypothesis of Europeans coming here, not to Africa, coming here to this country and taking the indigenous people from here and taking them to Europe. And then from Europe to Africa, then to here. You know, it's convoluted, but, you know, I don't know. 602, good afternoon.
Afternoon, brother Hochi.
Hey, how are you, my good brother Marcus? How are you today?
I'm doing great, good brother. I'm doing great. You know, what Edo's people don't understand, you know, is that, you know, they were moving black people back and forth in those Caribbean islands.
See, when you rebel, they send you down to them islands.
Right.
You see, so right. We are intricately tied in together. So I don't know what they're trying to divide.
Right.
They don't know their history.
That's it.
See, Carnell, what's her name? Yvette Carnell, she don't know her history.
Yeah.
So she don't even know. She confused because she even confused in her sexuality. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
okay.
How you going to confuse people, dictate the terms? Right? You know what I'm saying?
I agree, you know, brother. So, I hear yeah, you, Brother Marcus.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I agree. Say, yeah, we should get reparation, you know, as black people. But that division, you know, they were moving our people back and forth. New Orleans, you know, down there, you know, Haiti. They have a relationship. You know, they're moving our people back and forth. You
mm-hmm.
know, so they need to go study their history and shut up. I'm
yeah.
telling you, I'm sick and tired of some yeah. of these people getting on there, you know what I'm saying? But I'm with reparation, you know. But
oh, yes.
The question is, what is our move when they say, no, we ain't going to give you no reparation? What mm-hmm. is our next move? Yeah. You see, because we know that's what they're going to say. They're going
well,
to
no,
say,
they've been okay, saying that. You know? Ain't that
exactly.
they're going to say? They've been saying it. You know,
exactly.
Those,
so what could be our move
right.
then?
Those in politics, those in legislature, those in government, those in the private sector, those in religion, they have been saying
yeah.
that. No reparations.
Yeah,
in fact,
no
there
reparations.
Some had the audacity to say, y'all should be thanking us for enslaving you, for getting you out of Africa. And there's been some Negroes who have said
I'm
the same thing.
You.
I'm glad that Caucasians came and got us, Europeans came and got us and brought us here to expose us to Western ideas, to Western religion, to Christianity. I would be in Africa worshiping a rock or a tree. I'm so thankful.
Madness, my
it
man.
Is
madness. I heard an African American chaplain here. He was an army chaplain. He's an army chaplain in the he was an army chaplain in the U.S. military, and he said, you know, we should just forget about trying to separate and just integrate.
Yeah.
But even when you try to integrate, they don't want
no.
you.
They,
you,
no,
you are not
they
welcome.
Never will, and never will, you know. One, let me tell you. One, I was at. In fact, it was Super Bowl this past Super Bowl, and before the game happened, we all engaged in conversation. And so this one sister, she said some stuff that was tripped off. Number one, she said to me, "Quite, quit trying to influence and change my mind." Quit trying to tell me what you're telling me and trying to make me think and question my old ignorant beliefs and change my mind.
Wow.
But then she said that was deep, though, Brother Mark. She said, I think the solution is for black and whites to intermix, you know, and we have the solution is a mulatto kids. The solution is all these high yellow. And I said to myself, and I did say to her, I said, don't you know they tried that? And
exactly.
In fact, that's what they did to keep a distance between us and themselves, to put in a buffer class, a mulatto class, a high yellow class, a, you know, in fact, this is so deep, Marcus. I know if you've seen this, you know, they got the comedy Blackish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they made a spinoff from that one called what is it, Grownish or some stuff like that. But now they're going to make a one where half breeds, you know, or what is it called?
Wow.
Yeah. Mixes. Mixish. Yeah.
Confusion, man. That's all they sow is confusion.
That's what they do.
Yes, and even in Jamaica, it's that mulatto class that
mm-hmm.
the island there. Even now, it look in the present government, it's predominantly mulattoes.
Right.
You know, and it's just
right.
keeping their foot on black people's neck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's what it may explode down there, Brother Oshie.
Yeah.
It's getting bad. So
wow.
you hear the pop, the top fly off of Jamaica because it's getting
yeah.
bad down
oh,
here.
Oh, wow.
Brother.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, you know.
Good to have you back.
Well, you know, they had a group in Jamaica. Sister did a documentary. I watched it. I had her on the program talking about it. Now, of course, that group was the Rastafari. And the Rastafari mm-hmm. had petitioned to England to repatriate them and give them some money. They want to go back home to Africa. Now, I agree with that, but it should not just be for the Rastafari. It should be for Jamaicans.
Exactly.
To be restored, to be made whole. Right. Jamaicans, regardless of theology, regardless of class, it's Jamaicans. It's just like all of us. And the other thing is, to me, though, Brother Marcus, is that it just ain't, because see, Europeans just didn't do that to the people who established the island, who occupy the island of Jamaica. They did it to the people who occupy the island of Haiti, Barbados, Puerto Rico, Cuba. You know?
Mm-hmm. It's so true. But you see, even within the Rastafari movement, no, that's been infiltrated by Europeans now. See, you have Europeans deep in the Rastafari movement.
Wow.
So, a lot of Rastas say, what the hell going on now? Because you got Rastas, you know, beating drums and chanting.
Really?
A lot of them like, what the hell going on? These people are in our business.
So, yep.
It's just anything black people have, they come.
Here they come.
Want to come in.
Here they come.
And dictating to you, well, you know, yes. You can do this. Man, don't hell with them people, brother.
I think, just like when I left, I've seen one of my guys that I coach football with, a Caucasian man named John, who I have a lot of respect for. Me and him have worked together for many years coaching football, you know, working with kids, so helping our children. And he has been great. I've been great. We've been great together. Fine. But I don't look to him. In fact, ironically, he's very conservative. Probably voted for Trump. I don't know. I don't give a damn. But I do know that we work together. But I don't choose him as a protecting friend. I realize what we have and what we do together. And see, that's one thing. But me, as an African man who believes in African sovereignty, who believes in African independence, I don't look to any Caucasians to help us do any damn thing.
I'm telling you.
You know?
I'm telling you.
See, so I can keep those relationships the way they are, and believe me, I ain't no damn sellout. I am who I am. And even they know that. Listen, Marcus, when I coached football, you know what my team colors were? Red, black, and green. That's right.
Anyway, brother, it's good to have you back. And it's good to hear you.
All right. Thank you so much, Marcus. You have a blessed day, my brother. Peace to you. All right. Yeah. Because, I mean, that is, in reading the Enye Sesum, because I wasn't here, there was many of them. Like I said, I will always do that. And, I probably wear this book out, but if I do, I'll just get another because we need this. And some of those they just really touch home in terms of what, not just what Baba Baruti said, but what the quote is from the various brothers and sisters, what the quote is. And then, of course, Baba Baruti lending to some narrative or to articulating that particular quote. All of it is just fantastic and pause for greater, deeper concern and contemplation and understanding and rationalization, all those things. Because what we are about is re-Africanizing our minds. We are about re-Africanizing our minds. I didn't come to this point in my life, as old as I am, in the journeys of my life, and I can go back as a young man, all the way up to this particular point. I remember back in the 60s, and I remember my awakenings. I remember those who gave me instruction. I remember the things that I've done. I remember my years on the fire department and a great awakening for me on the fire department, because I was able to read a lot on those days, there and off days. And then joining organizations, joining the Black Firefighters Organization, organizing on a local level, national level, and ultimately international level, because I went to Ghana as the president of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters and talking to them about being a part of it, because we need each other. We need to be unified, period, in all facets of our lives, having functional unity. And just like I read that piece about the importance of establishing a unified Africa, and then I read the piece, which was hard for me to read, about why it can't happen, you know, and they were weak about why it can't happen. My contention is, whatever it is that needs to happen to make it happen, that's what we do. Whatever it is that makes it happen, that we need to come together to sit at the table, to hash out whatever differences they are, whatever things that need to be done, whatever projects that need to be done, and those who are going to do it, and give them the direct information and timelines and resources to do it, it must be done. We got to get it done. So I'm looking forward to this convention next year in October 2020 here in Atlanta. I will be, of course, promoting it, having people who are directly involved in it on the program to talk about it. Hopefully some of you who listen will come here, or those who do listen are already here, are preparing and excited about this happening. Because like I said, the most important thing for us as African people is involving ourselves in this struggle for our collective unity. When you talk about the Kwanzaa principles, the first one is unity, the underlining concept of Kwanzaa is unity, and unity in function, not some kind of conformity, not some that we wear the same things and have the same, no, in function, functional unity, regardless of what little petty differences that we may have, we recognize how we should be in order for us to be effective. Imagine. See, that's why I hate what happened to Muammar Gaddafi, because he was going to say to the African, he was president of the African Union, we're going to develop this gold coin to be the currency for Africa, and this will help African nations establish some independence and African nations to come. It was a grand opportunity to establish what Patrice Lumumba, Kwame Nkrumah, Sheikh Anta Diop, and all the other men and women who had a unified vision of Africa. You see the reason why we're so dogged out everywhere we go? You see how we are hated everywhere we go, undermined and manipulated everywhere we go? Why? Because we have no functional unity. Our landmass, Europeans, in particular European Jews who took what was Palestine and made it a homeland and said it was sovereign, everywhere on the planet where European Jews are, they feel secure. They feel secure because they have a homeland that was, even though it was robbed, even though it's thievery, even though it is not legitimate, even though it's not historical, but they have established it, and they feel secure that anywhere in the world that they are, they know they have home, and they're secure in that. Our problem is we don't. we tripping about what country is it from? Maybe I need to go to African Answers to find out what. Doesn't matter what country. I ain't tripping about what country. I'm claiming Africa. Now, because of who I am in my DNA, who knows? I mean, if it could be like when those brothers, when Skip Gates was doing that ancestral thing, and some of those brothers got, particularly at Howard University, and they didn't do mitochondrial DNA. They did DNA from the man's line, and all that shit was going back to it was going back to Ireland, Scottish, English, whatever, German, you know. I said, I don't care. I know I'm African. I look at my mama and I know I'm African. I look at my people. I know I'm African. And I embrace being African. And I look at all of the brothers and sisters, all those who identify with being African. So, oh man, all time flies. I appreciate Brother Jay and Brother Marcus and those who listen. Like to hear from Brother Paul in the UK. I'm trying to drop him a line. I haven't heard from him in a while. Sister Susumi in Botswana. The good brothers in the Caribbean. All brothers and sisters, we appreciate you for those who listen and those who struggle on a day-to-day basis because your Africanness is under constant attack. You are bombarded 24/7, 365. And so that's why you got to constantly, you know, check yourself. You got to constantly reiterate and reestablish your African mind. Brother Bruce Bridges in his book, Reclaiming the African Mind. Because we have everything we need. The only thing we don't have is our mind. And if we talk about reparations, that's why I was talking to my good friend, Brother Teju. And you know, me and him, you know, we differ sometimes, but we're all in agreement because we're African people and we love Africa. You know, but I was saying to him that those who understand reparations, you know, they don't necessarily understand Pan-Africanism or being African. Those who want reparations, a lot of times, they just want some money. They recognize what happened to our ancestors, but they want some money. The people at ADOS want some money. That's the bottom line. They want some money. But those of us in the Pan-African movement, we understand why we want reparations. We understand the damage that has been done. And it ain't about individuals getting some money. It is about the repair that we need to reestablish ourselves as a people once again. We want institutions. We want educational institutions. We want to be able to have factories and so forth. And we understand, at least I do, I don't want to establish nothing here. This is not the place for us. This is in the midst of an open and sworn enemy. Once again, I heard at a reparations conference this past weekend where the brother said, we want land. Where? The only place that we should want land at is on the continent. We want land here? No. Look at the history. Look what they did in Rosewood. Look what they did in Tulsa. Look what they did in Lane, Arkansas. Look what they did in Allentown in Los Angeles. Look what they did in other places. Look at the Devil's Punch Bowl. Look what they did in contemporary times, splitting those communities, destroying them. The Haiti community in Raleigh-Durham. Hell, even Milwaukee. They put an expressway right through the heart of the black community. And they've done it in other places. Model Cities Program. Model cities, what they call it. Thing. So this is theirs, not ours. Hell, ain't Caucasians can't even be sovereign in their stuff. When they did, the government vamped down on them because the government has eminent domain. The federal government, even
those lands where they're indigenous people. Look what happened with the pipeline. They said, the hell with y'all. We're going to run the pipeline through it. I don't give a damn about your sacred land. Hell, and your water. I'm going to run this oil pipeline right through there. And they did. We are dealing with an evil entity that we must separate from, that we must come together as African people and go get off into our land. 631, go ahead. I only got a minute. Go ahead.
Peace. I know you don't have that long. This is Brother Oshie. Peace. Glad to have you back on the air, right? I just want to say, right, I've been listening. I think you need to extend this conversation about ADOS and the divide and the divisions and stuff like that. I wanted to comment, but I couldn't.
Okay.
Right? But I hope you can have a whole program on this.
I so sure will.
It could be aired out, the pros and the cons, man.
I sure will, my brother.
There's a serious discussion on it. All right, peace.
All right, peace, my brother. Thank you so much. Brother O, right on. We're going to close the show because we got to get ready for Brother Franklin Jones and the Black People Matrix. You want to make sure that he comes on at his appointed time. So on Mondays and Wednesdays, I got to get ready to close out a little bit early so he can do his thing and be on time. And so I got to get ready to let him know, hey, man, it's showtime. That's not showtime. It's your time. He's a good brother, I'm telling you. Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. And so let me get it together here. Letting him know, brothers and sisters, you've been listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We end this program like me and all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for it. So at this time, brothers and sisters, let's get ready for Brother Franklin Jones. Peace, family. It's always an honor and a pleasure to come before you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Friday. Peace.